Time for Jackson Mayor Derek Dobies joining us today. Let's recap. Yesterday was the deadline to file.
Mm-hmm.
And we have, in the first ward, unless somebody got in at the last second, Arlene Robinson, Dina Morgan in Ward 1, Ward 3, Angelita Gunn, Caleb Blonke, Karen Bunnell will run unopposed in the 5th ward. And then for mayor, you've got John Wilson, Jeremy Alexander, Daniel Mahoney, and Laura Dwyer Sletke. So we'll have a runoff in August. Derek?
Yeah, we'll have no surprises. I didn't file, Greg. So
okay,
it is. I said
I was on pins and we were on pins and needles.
Yeah, thought it was might have been an April Fool's Day joke. Huh?
Yeah. I was worried.
No, it's an open race. So, you know, there's not surprisingly, a number of different names. I think many of them are likely familiar. I think John Wilson has run for, been on the ballot every other year. And, you know, you got two sitting city council persons. And a county commissioner who's been reelected multiple times as well. So, you know, I think people are going to have some choices this year. There's going to be some choices in the first and third wards as well. So, you know, look forward to there will be a primary in August for the
right.
Election of mayor, and then the two city council contested seats will just automatically move forward into November.
Derek, that'll be tough to handicap in August.
Yeah. Well, you know, true. I think that, you know, as no surprise, I'm continuing to support Daniel Mahoney.
Uh-huh.
I think he'd make a great mayor, and I look forward to campaigning. And I have, I've talked to Jeremy and Laura called me and told me that she was also going to be running, and Jeremy told me that he was going to be running for the third ward seat, and I think he had turned in petitions that were invalidated, and so he chose to go back out and circulate for mayor instead. So and you know, no surprise there with John Wilson. So, you know, we still have until, I think, Friday for people to withdraw. So, you know, we'll see what the full slate of candidates looks like after the end of this week. And, yeah, we'll move on to August and narrow it down to two candidates to make the pitch for who should be the next leader of the city of Jackson.
Any surprises in the other races? I know you're a supporter of Angelita Gunn.
Yeah, you know, I think Angelita's been is going to be a great candidate and hopefully a great city council person as well. You know, she's the executive director of the AWARE shelter, the local domestic violence shelter for women that provides a range of different services. And, you know, she was born and raised here, went to, goes to St. John's Parish and has a big family here, and you know, I think would make an incredible council person. You know, the third ward has been represented by Jeremy for a term, and now is opening back up. So they'll have some choices, and some the residents up there have some evaluations to make of both of those candidates as well.
So, what are you going to run for?
co-host to Greg O'Connor.
Oh, there you go. Come on in.
There you go.
You got it.
Tag team duo.
So, you don't have a meeting until next week?
Yeah, we don't have a meeting until next week on the 27th. It's probably likely to be a short agenda. A lot of some of the big meat is pushed off until the May 11th meeting, where we're going to be discussing the neighborhood association ordinance. We actually have a meeting. Council member Freddie Dancy has a second ward neighborhood meeting on Monday that's going to be online. And one of the items we'll be talking about is the neighborhood association ordinance. But next week on Tuesday, a fairly light agenda, a lot of different events and things that are coming back online, going on to the consent calendar. And one of the things that I kind of came up as an opportunity that I wanted to explore later last year that the DDA put some work into and made proposal back to the city is a social district for downtown. Mm-hmm. As we have local restaurants that are opening back up outdoor seating, hopefully when the snow melts here sometime before the end of April, we'll have some more outdoor seating, and that'll create a lot more revenue and traffic for downtown businesses to continue to stay afloat as we continue to battle the pandemic. But one of the things that we thought would be advantageous to them is to be able to have a downtown social district, one in which either with a specific sticker or a specific cup that's sold by downtown merchants, restaurants, to have open beverages, open beer from Grand River Brewery and drinks, and to be able to carry it around a downtown district, responsibly, because downtown's great in the summer.
Yep.
There's a lot of people outdoor. There's a lot of music that goes on downtown in the Blackman Park there. So being able to have something like that where people can socialize responsibly, both alcoholically, or responsibly, as well as socially distanced, mm-hmm. I think is going to be advantageous for the businesses and in particular the restaurants downtown.
Makes all the sense in the world, really.
I look forward to it.
Yeah.
It'll be a fun time.
Absolutely. We had Corey Mays on here last week or about 10 days ago, and I know they're certainly planning on all these events coming back. The big ones, really, the car shows just bring an enormous amount of people downtown.
The car shows bring a ton of people downtown. I think we still want to be cautious about some of, ensuring that people are continuing to wear masks, that they're not getting, too close to each other, and that we have a adequate amount of, hand sanitizer and hand washing stations and things like that, where people can enjoy the classic automobiles in a safe fashion during the, as the pandemic continues to fluctuate here. I think, Gus Macker, another example of very popular event downtown Jackson, hopefully coming back this year. I'd love to see Bright Walls at some point, come back. They were going to have their final year, big year last year, and it turned into they did a couple of smaller projects, but would love to see them, come back for a final celebratory hurrah as the pandemic kind of gets under control here. But, we got a lot of things coming back online, and hopefully, people, we have over 50% of the population now vaccinated nationally. Hopefully we continue to see Jackson's numbers edge up. I've walked into the MLK Center, did a walk in to see if I could, how easy it was to get vaccinated, and got my information filled out, sat right down and got the vaccine right there. So it is easy. It's simple. You kind of feel like you have a mild flu for half a day, and that's your body responding to the vaccine and building those antibodies. But, it's something that we got to do. We have to encourage others to do so that we can continue to protect the public health and get out and enjoy some of these events and support our downtown businesses throughout the rest of the year.
We'll have to get Ted Nugent in there.
Yeah. Maybe not the best public health advisor there.
I see you did comment on social media on the Chauvin case. Do you want to talk about that a bit?
Yeah, you know, I think it's very topical. I think that the city of Jackson, you know, I think people were able to breathe after yesterday, kind of sigh of relief. And I think that when that case kind of broke last year and the video came out and we had kind of the response here locally with all of the protests, I think that this city stepped up and leaned into that conversation. We made a number of different policy changes and undertook a number of different projects last year to show the community where we stood. And the police department, I think our local police department, leaned into that as well. Mm-hmm. You know, we had officers that showed up at the peaceful protests. We had some changes to policy with the creation of a chief equity officer, a Department of Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion, creation of the Racial Equity Commission that came out and were direct products of those conversations from last summer. And I'll say that, you know, he's not one for show and the publicity, but, you know, the Director of Police and Fire Services, Elmer Hitt, took that to heart and went back and reviewed, and with some of the national conversations around use of force policies, went back through with the team and kind of led a review of our own internal use of force policies and made it stronger. And I think that there's more work that we can continue to do to provide a little bit more ensure justice and accountability and show the people of the city and, you know, across the state that Jackson takes this work seriously and that we have nothing to hide, that we want to be fully accountable and transparent to the people, and that we do a good job with our internal policies and our internal discipline procedures that, you know, we should be really proud of. And I think that stands as a testament to the work that the JPD officers and the command structure all take part in.
So again, Fred Dancy has a virtual meeting coming up.
Yeah, Freddie Dancy's got a virtual meeting coming up next Monday at 6 o'clock online. There's been a couple of posts. I think I posted about it on my Facebook page. It's been posted on the city's page as well as posted as an event on the city's website. So that'll be on Zoom. I think we'll get some updates from the city police department and then talk about the neighborhood association ordinance and other matters that kind of affect the second ward over there. And on that note, we're also moving forward with architectural services for the Boo Center rehab and Loomis Park rehabilitation as well. So continuing to move forward with the, you know, now that we've completed MLK and put a new roof on the Boo Center, moving forward with looking at what the Loomis Park could look like and what the future of the Boo Center looks like over there as well.
Sounds good. Thanks for the visit. Appreciate it.
Hey, appreciate it, Greg. Have a good one.
Jackson Mayor Derek Dobies.